You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
I want to start today with in the book of Luke, Luke 10:23. And while you're finding that, I just want to say I'm so happy to have Minister Francesca Frazier with us up here. Amen. Amen. Such a powerful woman of God. And I believe that as we've been studying and we've been talking, we've been going on this journey of listening to God. And we've been with this series called Listen. There's people that we can look at, biblical models, like Samuel, Moses, Elijah, different people. But we can also look within our own body and say, who's God speaking to? And how can we hear someone else's testimony that might encourage us to hear God in our own way? And so I think that Sister Francesca has such a great testimony, and I'd like her to share some of that with you, along with some of the word that God has hid in her heart. And so today I just named this sermon, When God Speaks. When God Speaks. And Jesus says in the book of Luke 10:23, then they were alone, and Jesus turned to the disciples and said, blessed are the eyes that see what you have seen. I tell you, many prophets and kings longed for what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. You know, there's something so amazing, something so special, something so sacred that we have, this better covenant that Jesus brought in, that we can hear God continually. We don't have to long for, just like these kings and these prophets of old, for special seasons and special windows to hear from God. Actually, this can be a part of our everyday life, hearing the voice of God. So it's so important that we don't take this advantage, because that we take advantage of this, because this is such a powerful gift of believers. And I know we talked a little bit about Samuel, but we didn't even get to some of my favorite parts, or one of my favorite parts of Samuel's story. And that comes to us in 1 Samuel 3. And I'll read for you. 1 Samuel 3 says, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. This is an important point too. Just be near what God is doing. You know, one great way to hear from God is be near. You know, we talked about that a little bit in part one. It's just be near to what God is doing, and it increases your hearing. So he's near to the ark of God. And then suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replies, what is it? He got up, ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up, went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Samuel did not know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. This thing just stood out to me this morning as we were talking. And I think it's so important to say, if you're not listening and you're not hearing what God is saying to you in your life, that's one of the greatest important parts of developing relationship with him. The scripture says about Samuel, he didn't know the Lord yet because he had not yet heard the Lord yet. If we've given our heart to the Lord, but yet we're not listening to the Lord, do we really know him? And I would raise that question for you today. If you're not having regular conversations with God, I'm talking about praying, I'm talking about God impressing something on your spirit. I'm saying God bringing something out of the word of God, and you're saying, oh, I can see what God is trying to show me today. If you're not having that type of encounter and that type of interaction with God, you're not really getting to know him relationally. And I think this is so important what it says there. And so then the Lord calls a third time. And once more, Samuel got up, went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realizes that it was the Lord calling the boy. So he says, "Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." You know, there's so many things that we see here, but one is that even in the midst of a drought, that the first part of the story is talking about, that words from God were uncommon in that time period. Visions were uncommon as well. But let me tell you, whatever's going on around you, you don't have to respond to that drought. You can actually plug in and hear the voice of God, because God wants to communicate to his sons and daughters. And that's so exciting. We need to be ready. We need to be willing to hear what God is saying to us. Even if other people aren't hearing, God wants to speak to you.
And on the matter of drought, you know, God never experiences drought. We're the ones who experience the drought. Yeah. You know, God always has something to say to us. And oftentimes it's because we've allowed other things to distract us. In the case of Eli and his sons, you know, the Bible says that they were scoundrels. They were misusing. I didn't call them scoundrels. It does say it in here in the word, that they were scoundrels. And they were misusing the sacrifices. And Eli knew this, but he never took any steps to correct his sons and what they were doing. And so either they were allowing the things that were going on to distract them, or they were simply just not interested in what God had to say. But God does not experience drought. We experience drought. God is a God of abundance. You know, he sent Jesus to die that we may have life and have life in abundance. And so God always, he's always speaking. He doesn't take a break from speaking. Now the question is, are we listening?
Amen. You know, the next thing that I see in this story is 1 Samuel 3:4. Samuel's going back and forth because he doesn't know the difference between Eli's voice and God's voice. And I think it's important that we're able to discern the voices in our life, because some people are going to be talking and then God is talking, and we have to be able to know the difference between when God is saying something to us and it's just a bunch of noise of other people talking. So discerning the voice of God, not discerning properly what voice is God's voice, will cause you to be chasing your tail. You're running all over the place like Samuel in the middle of the night. He's running back and forth to Eli's room because he's not able to discern the voice of God.
Amen. Let's look at the meaning of the word discern, because sometimes, you know, we can speak a word and someone doesn't understand exactly what it means. So, you know, we speak Christianese and not everybody speaks Christianese. And so, what does it mean to discern? Discern simply means to perceive or recognize. Yeah. How do we perceive or recognize when it is God that's speaking to you? Because let me tell you, the world is loud. Yeah. The world is loud in that they want to tell you who you are. They want to tell you your purpose. They want to tell you the reason God created you. But guess what? The world don't know that. The world doesn't know the purpose and the reason and the assignment that God has on your life. So if you're not able to perceive and recognize God when he speaks to you, you're going to take someone else's word. And then you're going to be like Pastor Joshua said, you're going to be chasing your tail. And okay, well, they say I'm this person. You're going to be that person for a season. Oh, they say I'm that person. You're going to be that person for a season. Until you're able to perceive and recognize God's word and his voice, you're going to be doing things that God has not really called and assign you to do.
That's so powerful. And I think we talked about this last week, which is that A-B test that we can do. And that is, we have the word of God, that this is what's been tried and it's been tested. These are the things that God has said in the past. This is a record of how God has moved in the past. When we hear a voice and we're saying, is this the voice of God? Is God speaking through my friend? Is God speaking through a family member? Or was that impression that I felt in my spirit, or that thing that I saw in that movie, was that God trying to speak to me through that? Well, let me do an A-B test between what I think is a voice of God and what I know is the voice of God. And then I'm able to discern or be able to have a knowledge of what is God's voice and what is not God's voice. Does this, what I think is God's voice, does it line up with the character of God right here in the Bible? Does it line up with a pattern of God that I see in the Bible? And I think to know that, to be able to really do an A-B test, you can't just own a Bible. You have to actually read the Bible, and then you have to actually begin to perceive what the Bible is saying. Something that I love, the story that you told was about your dad and how your dad would read through the Bible. And that was like a practice of his life, that he would read through the whole Bible. And then when he'd get done, he'd read through the Bible again. And that kind of was something that was really inspired you and kind of was passed on to you about just really this hunger for reading the Bible.
I've always been in love with the Word of God. That's just something I believe that God just really just purposely placed into me. I've always loved the Word of God. And I was even more so astounded when I found out that my father, who actually was not a Christian, but became a Christian when I was 13, when my mom passed away, that's when he became a Christian. And from that time, he reads the Bible every year. He will read the Bible every year. And you would go, he has his appointed time. When he gets, I could go to the house at that time, and I know exactly which corner he's going to be in, sitting down, reading his Bible. And that really left an impression on me. You know, God speaks to us a lot through his word. And if you're not reading his word, then you're not hearing from God, you know, because he does use his word oftentimes to speak to us. It's his love letter to us. It is his instruction. You know, we don't need to, when we need a word, we can go to God in his word and he will speak. There's never been a time I've gone to the word of God and I have left disappointed. I've always found the answers I'm looking for in the word.
That's so powerful. And I think there's so many applications and there's so many different things that happen in the life of a believer when we read the word of God. And one tremendous benefit is, you know, the Bible talks about in the last days, there's going to be people that are, you know, they're speaking stuff and they're preaching stuff because people have itching ears. They want to hear a feel-good sermon. They want to hear something that feels good, but maybe not necessarily lines up with the Word of God. And so I was listening to, I can't remember who it was I was speaking to last week, and they were talking about just how powerful it is to know the Word of God for yourself. That way, it's a filter to you. You're listening to something, a message. And perfectly, this isn't happening here at Hope. but you're listening to a message, maybe it's on TV or something, and you hear something, you're like, oh man, that's great. And you hear something else, you're like, nah, that doesn't sound like the character of God. That doesn't sound like the way that God moves or God operates. Let me go back to the Word of God and just check on that. And so it becomes this great tool that we have to filter what we're hearing. So discerning the... My father used to say it this way: the first mark of spiritual maturity is discernment. You know, I think we have to, as we're growing in God, we have to develop discernment. And one of these great discernments is discerning God's voice. And then we see in 1 Samuel 3:9, when Samuel goes back and he's laying on the bed that third time, and he's making space for God this time. And he's inviting God's voice into his life. I think it's so important as believers that we make space for God and that we invite his voice. I find a lot of times with our schedules, we can get so busy that we don't have a time that God can speak to us. It's not that God isn't speaking. It's that we haven't allowed time and allowed a moment that all the voices, all the noise pollution can just kind of settle down a little bit. All the phone notifications can just kind of settle down for a second and let me hear what God is saying to me right now. Because, you know, it's important for my family. It's important for me personally. It's important for what God has me doing. And so we all have that kind of trifecta of what is God saying to me for me? What is God saying to me for my family? What is God saying for me to do as ministry related? And so it's so important to give space and welcome his voice.
Amen. I work at a doctor's office, and although we have restrooms in the office, they encourage us to to, you know, not use the restrooms in the office, to use the restrooms in the hall. And listen, I don't need any encouragement for that because that is my steal away time. Sometimes I'll grab, you know, I always have a little book in the pockets of my scrubs because I take some time, even if it's 5 minutes, I'll go in there. And sometimes I go, I don't have to use it. I go in there and I just sit. I just sit in the stall and I read a passage in the Bible. I read a passage of scripture. You know, even though we do, you know, we have lives. We go to work. You know, if you're a mom, you know, your work never stops. You know, you're always on the move. So we have to make a conscious decision. We have to be intentional about taking time and inviting the Spirit of God and inviting. And you know, one thing that's interesting is that God is an omnipresent God. We're always in his presence. But the thing is, we don't always acknowledge his presence. And so when you take that time, and you'll be surprised, even if it's two minutes, 5 minutes, you just take that time. And you just clear your mind and you just think on the things of God and you ponder on his word and his promises. That makes a big difference. It makes a huge difference to make time and invite God to come in. Because if you're not, God's not going to fight for your time. You know, he's not going to come and bulldoze his way in. He's God. He doesn't need to do that. So we need to make intentional decisions and make conscious decisions on taking time and allowing God to speak to us.
Amen. Amen. So I love the practical side too. We did this a little bit last week. I wanted to touch on this a little bit practically, you know, because there's so much that can be said from a testimony, from our personal testimony. So just a little piece of your personal testimony. When was the first time that you can really say, I felt like I heard God's voice for the first time?
I asked God the same question. I said, God, when did I first hear your voice? When did I first hear your voice? And what God did was instead, God showed me all of the times in my life that he's spoken to me and I did not recognize his voice. And I think that's very important because I didn't have an expectation to hear from God. You know, I expected that God would speak to the pastors. He'd speak to the, you know, the pastors' wives, the deacons, and, you know, those, you know, strong and powerful Christians as we perceive them to be. But I didn't have an expectation for God to speak to me. And so God really just gave me a word. He said, listen, I created you to hear from me. We were all created to hear from God. Yeah. We're able to hear. God gave us the capacity to hear, not just in the natural, with which we use our ears. You know, we're able to process the information that comes through our brain, and our brain makes interpretation, and we're able to understand what it is that we hear. Also, in the same way, we're able to hear God in the Spirit. When God created us, he breathed himself into us. He breathed his Spirit into us. And so we're able to commune and hear from God on a spiritual level. Furthermore, God used words to create this world. Now, when the world, when the universe heard the sound of God, when God said, let there be light, it had no choice but to obey what God said, and it brought forth light. The same with us, when we hear the voice of God. The reason why God's word never returns void is because we, as his children, are supposed to hear that word, and we're supposed to move forward with it. We, as his people, upon hearing the voice of God, we're supposed to take action. I don't believe God would have given Abraham the second step until Abraham, when God said, leave and move, God said, get up and leave your father's house. If Abraham had not taken that first step and move, God would not have given him any further instructions. And so hearing from God is pivotal because your assignment is attached to you hearing from God. The agenda, God's agenda is attached to hearing from him. You fulfilling your destiny is contingent on your abilities to be able to hear. And so we need to be able to hear what God says to us. Again, Pastor Joshua, I'm not sure if I answered the question, but God created us to hear from him. And so we must have a spirit of expectancy and hearing from God. A.W. Tozer said that the person who does not expect to hear from God will discount every single time when God speaks.
Yeah.
And so if you have no expectations of hearing from God, even when you do hear from him, you're going to dismiss it. You're going to ignore it. You're going to say, oh, that's just me being me. No, that's God speaking to you. So we must have a spirit of expectancy.
Amen. I don't know if you answered the question either, but it was a good answer. It was really good. There are many ways that God speaks to us. And just like a father speaks to his children in different ways, this child responds better when he communicates this way. And, you know, the father communicates a different way to this one. And so God can communicate in many different ways to us. How have you found that God most commonly communicates with you, speaks to you?
With me, it's through his word. I have a love of God. I have a love affair with the word of God. There's never been a time I've gone into the word either for direction or instruction or just for comfort for God to not, for me to leave empty-handed. I may not fully understand everything at the time I'm reading it, but then as time goes on or as the week goes by, God will just remind me of that passage and he will bring it to my remembrance. This is what I was talking about. See, when you read that passage, this is what I meant. And so for me, it's always been the word of God, and I so love it. And I believe also that's why God just placed such a love for his word in my spirit, because that is how he predominantly speaks to me, is through his word.
And okay, this is such a good question. And how have you found in your life has been the way that you've discerned the difference between God's voice and other voices?
I test it against the word. If it does not line up with the word of God, see, because God's never going to speak to you and tell you something that opposes his word. He's never going to contradict his own word. And so you test it. I test it against the truth, the fire of the truth of God's word. If it don't line up with the Bible, then it ain't God. If it don't line up, if my spirit, the spirit of God in me does not witness it, then it's not God. Because oftentimes I find that I'll be watching a show, and I'm very cautious about the things I watch, and I'm very cautious about the things I hear when I watch certain shows. And you would hear something, and if you were in a slouching position, you kind of sit up because you're like, no, that didn't sound right. Yeah, yeah. You know, that my spirit did not agree with that. That's not God. So it's definite.
Well, I want to, before we close and say a prayer, because I want to pray into this. But first, I want to just kind of set this up. There's a story in 2 Kings 6:8 where Elisha and his understudy are in this place, and they're surrounded by an enemy. And this is really the inspiration for this song that we were singing. But so Elisha and his servant are there, and they're surrounded by this army, and the servant with Elisha is so worried about this army that he can see. And Elisha's response is to pray for him. And he says, let me pray that God open your eyes to help you to see what you can't see. Open your spiritual eyes, because it's so important for us. And this is kind of the spirit of the prayer that I want to pray today, is that God open up your eyes. And maybe you're saying, well, I do see things. I'm not spiritually blind, but I'm going to pray that God even make what you're seeing even more clear and consistent, because that's been our continuous prayer through this series, is that God would allow us to hear, God would allow us to see more clearly and more consistently. And so Elisha prays this prayer, and this young man's perspective, his whole perspective shifts, because he sees that even though they're still surrounded by an army, there's an even greater army that surrounds them. And that is what God is doing. And that is God's army, God's messengers, God's will and God's purpose surrounding your life. So if you will, just stand with us. And I want to pray. It's so important that we hear what God is saying to us in this season. Will you bow your head?
Hallelujah. Father God, Spirit of the living God, we thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, we just cover your people, Lord God. Father, we pray that you open up our eyes that we may see you. Lord God, that we may see you in everything, Father, because you are in everything, Lord God. And Father, we pray, Lord, that we take time, Lord, to get into your word so that we can hear from you, Father God. You are our Father, and Father, we don't want to listen to another voice. We don't want to take instructions from anyone else. We don't want to take direction from anyone else. We want to take direction from you, Father. And so, Lord God, we just pray that you open up the eyes and the ears of your people, Lord God, so that they may be able to see and hear clearly from you, Lord God, that they may be able to hear from you consistently, more clearer than they've ever before in their lives, Father God. And Father, once we hear from you, Father God, help us to be obedient to your word. Help us to follow through, Lord God, with what you've asked us to do, with the instructions and the assignments, Father God, that you have given us, Lord God. And Father, as always, we will be sure to give you all honor and all glory in the name of Jesus.
And Lord, I just thank you, God. I just declare over your people today that they would have greater vision and they would see with greater clarity and they would see more consistently what you want them to see. God, I thank you for spiritual eyes being open, for spiritual eyes being sharpened today. God, I thank you, Father, for what you want us to see in this season and in seasons to come. And God, I pray that their ears would be open, God. Lord, that they would hear things, God, that you would sharpen those ears, God, that they would be able to hear by the Spirit clearly and consistently. I declare that over their lives, that they would not be in a drought. They would not be in a place where they cannot hear you, but God, that they can consistently, with clarity, hear what you're saying to them. God, I thank you, God, for what you're doing in this season of their life, God, and I thank you that this would be a listening season. Because God, before we have great successes and great victories, first we have to hear what you're saying. You have to hear your strategy. We have to hear your plans, your desires, your heart, God. So I thank you, Father, in this season that we would hear. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.